Greetings and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of February 14th, 2016. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Got a lovely conversation today with Tony. First, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul, his week 46. I wrote this first one 2 years ago. Verse 46. Pettiness and materialism combine to blind me and bind me in the dark. My memory of light must burn brightly through my depths, so I may continue to see truly who I am. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse, verse 46a. These horrid world events, this continuing winter, might finally extinguish my optimism, but for clear remembrance of past kindness and warmth, that here in this dark place I conjure full of life. Well, on that note, Tony was such a pleasure to talk to. She's fun. I wish you could know her. I want to know her myself. Thank you, Tony, for talking. Here you go.
Yeah, what can we talk about?
I don't know. There's so many things. I was trying to think about it, and I mean, there are just so many things. I know I don't want to discuss politics because I'm so unplugged. I'm so unplugged from that. I'm so disinterested.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really disinterested, and I'm to the point now where what I decided to do when all of this started, because I went so blank on it, it was almost like I went into some sort of conscious coma.
Yeah. But that's a healthy response. That's a healthy response. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I decided I had one girlfriend in particular who felt very strongly about one candidate. And I mean, if it came down to it, I probably would vote for that candidate or the other candidate in that group of political people. And so I decided, you know what? I like her. She's researching all these things. She cares about things that I care about. She's passionate. She's going on the road with this person. So, you know what? I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It has saved me.
Right.
I'm not in any discussions with anybody.
I'm not
writing about it on Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm not unfriending people. You know, it's just exhausting. I mean, people told me how they start unfriending people over this. They get in arguments, and I'm like, I just don't have the time to waste the energy. I'm not going to give any of my energy to that. So that's what I've done, and it's been great. She has chosen my candidate for me, and I think she's choosing well. I don't know what to do if they're not picked in the final two, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
You know, I don't think it's politics per se, but I have a long list of blocked people. I really like blocking people.
And the blocking is nice.
It's even people I don't even know. I'll see a comment from some friend of a friend, and I'll just block them because I know I don't want to ever see them again.
Mm-hmm. But, isn't it interesting when you, let's say you do go, you know, you have that day and you actually decide to unfriend someone you've already friended.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. It's interesting to me in the next couple of days, they'll be back on that list of friends to add again. It's are they tracking this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm like, I was sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
That's a total entertainment device. And if it's not fun, you shouldn't. I mean, like you say, don't do anything political if it's bothersome.
Right.
Don't do anything
if it is. Yeah, I'm saying no to that. And I did, and I'm so happy that I did.
But on the other hand, I really think of politics in an anthropological kind of a way that you try to understand if you were somehow picked out of the world and brought far away by, I don't know, gods or aliens, and they were asking you what's going on there, it'd be nice to be able to explain it a little bit. And you have to have some kind of interest in anthropology to really understand where we are in our progression, in our progression from dog-eat-dog, you know, to tribal to wherever, you know, where are we in that process? Because we are certainly not just staying at the same place forever. We're slowly evolving somewhere.
Sure.
And it's nice to know where we are. It's nice to know where we are, where we're headed, where we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really depressing, though. I totally understand what you're saying.
Really, well, it saved me a lot. I mean, I think it's one of the smartest things I've ever done. And
great.
Because I honestly couldn't muster up any small bit of caring about it. Like, I just didn't care. It's become such a folly to me that I figure why partake in that. You know, there's no substance left in it. And there might be somewhere, but we're not seeing it, you know. And so I'm just going to let that go. I mean, you know, and I'm glad I did. I'm really, really happy about that. You know, I mean, if you add up all the time that you could have put into it, you wouldn't have gotten that back. And I've done other things that have been way more enriching than that. So,
I mean, it's so,
that was really good.
It's so similar to sports, very similar to sports. And a person, a person can donate their whole life to sports. They totally can.
Right.
You don't complain that someone is doing that. There's a lot of people that do that. And it's a very entertaining thing. I think of politics the same way, except in politics, people actually do die based on results, right?
Exactly. Right. So exactly.
It is more serious, but to take ownership of it, though, I don't think we have to take ownership, you know, to say this is important. I've got to be aware. I don't, you know, a lot of people don't ever do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have to take care of ourselves first, though, right? I mean.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't feel bad or any less of a good American citizen for not having taken in this little bit, but it's a bit of a joke. I mean.
Yeah.
How anybody can look at the debates and not just consider it flat out funny. Yep. You know, it's a joke. It's a comedy show.
Yep.
So
I
don't feel like anyone can really hurl any insults my way, not when we're seeing what we're seeing, you know?
Yep.
So until it gets serious and it feels serious and it feels sincere, I'm not playing.
And you said you'll probably vote at the time. You'll just take someone else's. Someone else did the research, just like we do with most things. We turn to the scientist, turn to the expert,
and
take their opinion.
Yeah.
It's totally reasonable.
And she's definitely she knows a lot more about this person than I do, and I trust her and like her, and she's raised a beautiful child and. You know,
good.
So I know
that's
she
good.
Cares about the basics and the essential things, but I'm going to go with that. I think it's been brilliant. Maybe you should do it in some other area in my life. I'm not sure.
You know, I get a lot of humor out of politics. I think that's why it's a hobby of mine. I really enjoy the humor in it, the shaming of the the whatever, the...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's maybe petty.
It's so funny to see... You know, whenever the real question comes, you know, whatever the real deal is, why did you take the money from the big companies, you know, and just to see how, you know, it's like, they just don't answer. It's just,
I'd love that. Yeah.
No,
I'd love that.
No That's, answer.
Have you noticed there are people who, they talk slower in the middle of a sentence. And then when they get to, when they get to the period, they go really fast and they do the next sentence. And then they slow down in the middle. So they have a breathing in their speaking, but there's no way to ever interrupt unless you come in the middle of a sentence. And that's not fair. You don't do that.
Really, that's so funny.
Really cool.
Well, I thought you were going to say that was the buying of time tactic.
That might be,
You know, to think of what in the hell am I going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
And how am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'll talk about, you know, the color of your shoes. Everybody will hate that. And then, you know, that'll get them off me, you know, for a second. You know, I'll talk about that. And then, so it's just always so funny. But you know, again, I can only take so much of it.
I heard this great Stevie Wonder song recently. Apparently he was in the Grammys. He headlined the Grammys back in 76. And he was on stage with his little electric piano or whatever it was. And it was this amazing song saying, you tell me you're doing stuff for me, but I have.
Oh yeah, but you haven't done.
You
nothing.
Haven't done
nothing.
It's still exactly haven't the done, same. It's
so
exactly
great.
The same way. Exactly the same way.
It's exactly right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I love him so.
Anyway, yeah. Hey, did you see him? Did you see him on his tour? He came to Austin.
You know, I did not, and he came here, and a friend asked me to go, and it's funny you asked that question because I was thinking during this talk, you know, maybe we could talk about also. I don't know if you ever do multiple topics in your podcast, but you know, about decision making.
Yeah.
And how sometimes how difficult that can be, and how sometimes it can be so simple.
Yeah.
Then there are other decisions which I've been toiling with, you know, some things that are really, that feel really big, that was a snap. But then there are other ones that I have to really, I mean, and I decide on my own, you know, but then there are others I've got to call in my army of friends and have them weigh in. Sometimes it's because I can't find the right words to help or arm me with what I need to say to someone else or how to present myself in a way. It's not that I'm afraid to. I don't mind confronting or debating or discussing. But sometimes I'm at a loss because it's a new arena for me or it's just a new situation and I don't know how to handle it, you know. And so it's so funny to me how some things I'm so fast, I can be so quick to decide. Yeah. And other things, man, you really, and it may be to other people, you know, like how to buy a house or something like that. It may be quick to them,
yeah.
You know, but for me, it might take me forever.
What you just said, though, wasn't for me a decision. For example, you were saying you need this information. You don't need to make up your mind. You need to get information. That's not the same thing at all, though.
I guess it's not, is it?
Because you're saying, how do I, blah, blah, blah. That's not a decision. That's, I know I don't know. I know that I don't know, and I need help.
Yeah.
So that's not a decision. I think you're, like you were saying, you're good at decisions.
Well, that's true. I need to gather the information. Now, that makes sense. You know, I've been telling myself that for my whole life, you know, probably forever.
Right.
That I have trouble making decisions, but... You know, and I would say, oh, it takes me a long time. But really what I'm doing is I'm fact gathering. Like,
there you are.
That's exactly
there you
right.
Are. There you are. That's, of course.
You know, like when I was deciding to buy a laptop, I took a year, you know, 6 months, a year. But I was researching the whole time.
Yeah.
In my spare time, I'm looking to see what do I need and want. But in my mind, I told myself I didn't know how to make, you know, it's like, you're not making this decision very, you know, very well or very quickly. And so that means you're not making it, doing a good job at that, you know.
You know, a person could practice any kind of decision that isn't important. They can practice changing the way they do it, or they can practice how quickly, like when you go into the restaurant and the person says, where do you want to sit? You just sit. Just because you're practicing making decisions quickly and not caring, that's an interesting thing to practice. And you might get a muscle then that way. You might get a muscle in your soul that helps you to make quick decisions. But I wonder if it is actually a problem if a person is consistently, habitually thinking that they don't have enough information to make the decision. That might be a handicap of some kind.
Yeah, I think I feel instantly better because that is what I've done. I mean, you just saying it that way.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I saw a psychiatrist in a movie. Someone said, I need help making this decision. And the psychiatrist said, no, you don't. you know what you want to do.
You already know what you want to do. That's
you,
true.
Yeah,
that
you
true.
came to me because you want to feel better about the decision you already made in your head. Anyway, I don't know if that's true, but that sounds kind of true to me.
That's true in some cases for sure. You know, being afraid that what you know is true. Yes, that's very true. I think a lot of people do that. We all do.
You know, there's an inversion, though. I think a lot of people think big decisions are big decisions and little decisions are little. And I think it's the reverse. I think when you and I decide to hang up, I think that's the most important thing we're going to do, because when you decide to hang up or when you decide to get up or sit down, everything else comes from that. Everything comes from those tiny little decisions that you make all the time. And that's more important than where do I go to school, because you may die today because you got up at the wrong time and you ran into the car that you wouldn't have run into if you didn't. Anyway, I think the little decisions are the most important thing, and we're doing them all the time.
And to that's very true.
To become more fluid with that and to be more at peace with every time you turn left, every time you turn right, every time you stop. That's, I think that's a real life art. The art of life is to be just flowing through those little decisions all day long without worrying about them, just doing them the best you can. And
right. That's the thing. That's the thing, is figuring out whether you're one that nitpicks those and you know, really dissects every single move, or if you can go and go with the flow of them. And I mean, I think you can err on you know, the side of being too much on both ways, you know. So you kind of got to, of course, the practice is to be in the middle and just go with the flow and be okay with it, you know, like you're saying. But sometimes I think because we want to control everything, we might err more on the side of, you know, really trying to plan out every single step. I used to do that, and in college, I actually would get anxious if I, you know, if my plan didn't go accordingly. Even the smallest and the simplest every morning of getting the class on time, I would be anxious because I was late.
Yeah.
And instead of just going with the flow of coming in a few minutes late, you know, I don't know what did I think was going to happen.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing that was going to happen? And, you know, nothing bad ever happened. So I don't know. There's an art to this. There certainly is. And the sooner you can learn it.
Everyone says that timing is everything, and it really is everything.
Yeah.
Timing is everything. And how do you get timing? How do you have timing? That's totally based on your ability to be flowing in the decisions of the moment. I don't know how long have you felt, or when you're in it, do you even notice, or do you only notice later when you're in time, when you're right on time? I don't mean arriving on time. I mean in time, where things are right. You know, things are going well. It's kind of a curse almost to even notice it. But if you can somehow realize it and then keep going, and like you're going across the street, a busy street, you're walking across the busy street and there's nobody there. You have this kind of cool feeling, I'm in time, I'm right.
And
then how long does that go, and when do you screw it up or do you not screw it up? It's really very interesting. It's very spiritual,
do we have anything to do with it?
No, you're right.
If we just get up and go, I mean, do we really have anything to do with the rest of it? Is, you know, it's when we try to manipulate that, I think, is when the stuff gets all jacked up, don't you?
There it is. But when you're in it, your option is to screw it up. Your option is to mess with it.
Right.
So when you're in it, somehow to have this, what's it called? A class, maybe. If you're a classy person, people can say, oh, my God, you're beautiful. And you go, yeah, you pass the whatever. It doesn't bother you that people are trying to throw you off your game. You're just classy. You know, you don't insult people. This kind of word, classiness, I think it applies to being in time as well, that you realize you're in time and it doesn't matter. You just keep going and you don't screw it up. It's really hard to have that happen. It's really hard to be so smooth like that, really smooth.
I think, people mess it up all the time. They'll be like, everything was going so well. I don't know what happened. Well, I think you probably jacked it up. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
But we do. Yeah, because it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary for some, you know, when that's going that way, I think, because it's, I don't know. I don't know why it gets messed. I mean, I do think we jack with it, but I don't know why we can't just let it be.
I don't know if you are reading these in my youth in college, these books by Castaneda were coming out about this sorcerer in Mexico, and they were big. It was a drug boom in the country, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And these books were about this Mexican sorcerer and this poor author who, he's such an idiot, but he wrote books about the whole process. Anyway, it's a witch doctor kind of person. But brujo was the Mexican word, the Spanish word for it.
Okay.
Anyway, this author wrote about this a master. He was this man of knowledge, so-called. And he was explaining that one day you will tie your shoes, and by tying your shoes, the rock will fall and kill you. On another day, you will tie your shoes, and you will miss the rock. The rock will fall and not kill you. And so since you can't know what's the right time to tie your shoe, you must simply tie your shoes impeccably. And this word impeccability came out, that you tie your shoes impeccably. I love that idea that the tiniest thing you do it as well as you can possibly do it. And there, then you don't worry anymore about the rock falling. It's nothing to do with you. When the rock falls, is nothing to do with you because you're doing your very best.
That's right. That's right. That sounds, well, it just sounds like Byron Katie and, you know, just staying in the moment. The present
is really,
when you're washing the dishes, you're just washing the dishes.
There you go. That's the hardest thing.
It is. But man, if you can, it's pretty awesome.
It is.
You do.
And that's the decision. That's exactly the question about decision making, because it all comes out of that, because you are in time, then you're in the right time if you're actually wherever you are. I really find that anyway, that my decisions just flow out of me when I'm in time correctly.
But you know, that's kind of tough to do sometimes when you're parenting.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're trying to go with the flow and be in the time with the parenting part.
Yeah.
But then there's the part of you that's the individual still. Yeah. And you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I know that I struggle at times with, well, am I learning everything I should be learning? Am I growing? Am I, am I the best that I can be? Am I being stunted in some way because I'm not exploring as many things on my own as I would have otherwise? And, you know, it's something that pops up, and I don't know if that's because I'm what I consider creative type person.
Right.
But it comes up a lot. So there's been a practice in this parenthood of just always, you know, pulling back and remembering that maybe that is what I'm to be doing now, and this is okay. I didn't miss a boat.
No.
I didn't lose out on a lottery ticket. I didn't buy it. You know, it's nothing like that. This is what I'm supposed to be doing now.
I mean, that is, I've always envied parents for that very reason, that I, without having children, I must constantly be thinking of the best use of my life. And you do not have to think those thoughts. You know the best use of your life. You completely know it.
But that's not always true. Because, I think a lot of my parent friends, I would consider to be, you know, they're well-rounded in that they're not just a parent, you know?
Okay.
They're still that person that wanted, that kid that wanted to go to art school or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're still that person is still in there.
Yeah.
But it sometimes feels like it's on hold or like you know, and I've tried to balance it because I did not want that person to die.
No.
And that's what I felt like I needed to do, because I felt like the best parents I know, they somehow teeter totter around, man, and they juggle and they show their kids that they're still that too.
Yeah.
In addition to being the parent, because I just think that it's important.
That's the most important.
But it's hard. It's really hard because sometimes you're so immersed in the parenting.
Yeah.
You know, you know, the other kind of has to sit down for a minute and, you know, until you can get back to it.
But what you just said, though, the children looking to you and seeing someone who hasn't given up, who loves being an adult, who is, that's part of parenting, right? You've got to show the child what a human can do, what an adult can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are required to continue to be the striving artist even. It does not mean you are painting. It does not mean you are practicing cello every day. You've got to pick up the child. You've got to take him here and there.
Exactly.
But you still, you know, I've been seeing this little image in between the table and the sink. The child is screaming, whatever. I don't know how old your kids are. But you have this chance, walking from one room to the next, of walking like an artist. You can walk like an artist. And mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. when you're putting the spoon in the mouth, you're putting the spoon in the mouth like an artist. Somehow the feeling you have of yourself is that you are not simply a slave. You're not simply lost.
Right. Right, that's right.
And so there's an elevated feeling in your soul that over the years will just build and build. You will not have lost your center.
That's right.
Your center.
That's right. You don't. But I think at first you think you might.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought maybe, but then, and I'm like, nah, I can't. So I just try to find ways. But then, you know, it's all the little decisions, you know.
Yeah.
It's every single step. It's a million little decisions, it feels like, sometimes. And like when I'm, you know, in the flow of it, it doesn't feel so tough. And I'm getting better at it all the time.
You know, I do this thing daily, and maybe I didn't do it and I don't remember how I got here. So I'm going to say it to you, and then maybe you can tell me where you are in this process. There's this image of a bird that is combing through its feathers. Birds are constantly straightening all their feathers, right? Because they're if they're not straight and clean and they're full of crap, they're not going to fly very well. So they're constantly combing themselves. And I believe I started this, I don't know when, but when I have something wrong in my soul, there's someone yelled at me or I did something wrong, hours later, the lingering effect of that, even if I fixed it in the meantime, even if I found out, they weren't yelling at me, it was somebody else they were yelling at, I have something in me that's a thorn or a piece of crap in my feathers, and I feel it bugging me. There's something wrong with me. I feel there's something wrong with me, and I have to look. I have to stop for a moment and comb through and say, what is wrong? And I go, there it is. Someone yelled at me. That's it. And somehow then I've got to talk to myself and say, they weren't yelling at you. Or you fixed it. You fixed it. And so you're straightening your feathers. And I don't know when I did that, but now I cannot live without a clean coat. My coat is clean because the tiniest little burr or thorn that gets in me, I know it's there, and I cannot go on living with that thorn sticking in me.
I cannot either. It's getting, you know, I think the older I get, the faster I am at getting that coat clean.
Good.
Because I realize I'd say 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time, whatever, if it was something like what you described, a situation where someone did something like that, I realize it really doesn't usually have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
And so that makes it a lot easier to get that coat clean, because I know I didn't, you know, set out with any kind of malicious intent or, you know, nothing like that. And I know that it generally doesn't have anything to do with me. But I do understand that it's, you know, it's sticking, because I would play it over a couple times and be like, wow, that was like something else. Like, where's that come from?
Yeah.
I might try to analyze it like that, but I don't take it nearly as personally as I used to.
But I take that as something to do with the feeling of being an artist. Maybe I'm not correct here, but what does it mean to feel like an artist? It doesn't mean you feel trampled upon by society. I know artists feel that way, but what I mean by feeling like an artist is that my life is an art, and I can't feel that way if I've got a thorn sticking in me. I don't feel like an artist.
There's something
wrong. So I'm constantly combing because I want to feel like my life means something. Even though I'm just walking from one room to the other, I want to feel like this is important. My walking into this other room is part of the grand scheme of things, and this is all working out perfectly.
That's right. It's called conscious living. That's good.
Anyway, so the clean coat is required for that. You know, you have to.
It is. It is. It absolutely is. Or you can't, you know, it'll get bogged. You'll get bogged down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
But that's somehow totally related to decision making and being in time. And this clean coat is required. You're going to be dragged down if you don't.
Mm-hmm. And you got to decide how long, how you're going to get it clean,
yeah.
you know, and when. Yes, you know, sometimes, yeah. sometimes to get it clean, I've got to do something artistic to get it
yeah.
clean.
Yeah, there you are.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And it's one of my main go-tos. And so then you get, you totally get clean by yeah. either yeah. making something,
yeah.
you know, or playing something on piano and singing or listening to something, and that can get it clean too.
That sounds like the feeling I have for the feeling of purpose. I'll feel I don't have a purpose. Something's wrong. There's this thorn, but it's me. There's something wrong. And I look around. Oh, I'm just sitting here. That's what's wrong. I've mm-hmm. got it. And so yeah, I can carry wood, and I put wood in the wood box. Suddenly, my life is making sense again. And I didn't do anything except go out and get wood. And that's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's so mm-hmm. stupid that solves the question of my purpose of life. It shouldn't be that simple, but it's totally simple.
But it is simple, yeah.
Totally simple. I know a lot of practices, more based on thinking than activity, I suppose, is that before bed you review your day, you go backwards through your day. You don't dwell on the thing. You don't relive the thing. You just look. You just look, sure. maybe even backwards, so it's not normal. You're just passing from, okay, I just came to bed. Okay, I had dinner. Okay, I came home from work. And you go backwards. That can be setting the stage for a good night's sleep, because in your dreams, then you don't have to do that. You just did it before sure. you went to bed. So now you can have these dreams that are uplifting
yeah.
and wild. And that can give you the good day the next day, because you had this amazing group of dreams and you saw these cool people. Mm-hmm. And then
that's true. That is so true, because I'll say a boss I have had, that may be current and maybe past. Okay?
Okay.
So they were telling me about this dream they had.
Yeah.
And in our job, or in the job they were dreaming about, there are a lot of deadlines. And they had this, I mean, it was all fear-based and anxiety-ridden and, yeah. and just awful, because, you know, some deadline was missed and it was big. And
yeah.
And the way they described it, it sounded like an awful way to sleep. I was just like, that sounds horrible.
That
so
sucks.
maybe if they try your thing, you know,
yeah.
your idea of doing
yeah.
that might be a better way.
Yeah.
You know, because that just sounded to me like such an awful, like, did you,
yeah.
so do you feel rested today?
No,
because
that's not
it
right.
did sound horrible.
That's not right.
You know, just that, I'm like, oh boy, somebody needs to take some time off,
yeah.
you know, or, you know, it's like, yeah, this
yes.
is not good if it's permeating your dreams like that.
Yeah, goodness.
It was like a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah,
yeah
your that idea might, I may need to offer that up.
Yeah, goodness.
The next time I hear somebody tell me something like that, I will probably definitely offer that up. That's a good idea. It really is.
But
I never thought about it that way.
I mean, I think
I used to dream all the time and remember,
yeah.
and then I stopped remembering.
Yeah.
And then some nights, if I tell myself before bed, you're going to remember all of your dreams, or remember your dreams tonight, then I will. I don't know why that is.
If you hadn't had such a good subject, I was going to suggest a belief as a subject of our conversation. And I even thought of one this week, gravitism, that you believe in gravity, and
mm-hmm.
that manifests itself in dreams. What a waste
mm-hmm.
of a dream that you're walking around the whole time and you're sitting around in your dreams. What a waste. It's so stupid. Oh my God. And so anyway, I think everyone has that gravitism. They believe in gravity so much that even in their dreams, they're standing around and they can't.
That is so damn funny and
they can't
so true. Like, I was sitting at my desk and I was like, what? You're right, because, you know, that is so true. Because when I was a kid, you know, and younger, they were colorful and...
Yeah.
And you might fall, be floating, or,
yeah, yeah.
you know, whatever, you know, and that's so funny. That is so true, man. That is so funny.
After 20 or 30 years.
What a waste.
Yeah. after 20 or 30 years, you just believe in gravity. It's really the saddest thing. It's just so sad.
Oh my God, I've never thought about that, but that is anyway, so sad.
So.
Well, belief would have been a good one, but that would have been good one, but yeah. I've had
a lot of decisions.
Yeah, I've had a lot of decisions here lately, and I thought, boy, that's funny. You made that one on your own, and then this one, you know, it maybe takes, it's almost like, there's not even a chart, but if there were, it'd be a crazy one, because it's like, okay, for this thing, that's a you by yourself. I can make that one by myself. This one, that's going to require about 5 talks on the phone with my sister.
Right.
Okay, this one, I'm calling in all the troops. You know, I'm reaching out. I got all the legs of the spider in on this one. You know, people in other states, you know, my dad's, you know, all these people, you know, and that's the, I think that's probably the full range of it. So it's either by myself or I call in everybody from across the country. It's ridiculous. And sometimes even in France, as far away as freaking France, to help me make the choices, you know, or the decisions. But as you say, I'm not doing that. I'm actually fact gathering, and then I make the decision.
I was going to suggest a trick I learned. I tricked myself with this, and it works. Let's say you think you don't know what to do.
Sure.
And so you say, I'm going to flip a coin. And so you grab a coin and you say, heads, I'm going to do this, tails, do that. You still don't know what you're going to do. You flip the coin and it comes up heads and you go, I'm going to try 2 out of 3.
Exactly.
because then suddenly now you know you want to do tails. Now you know. You did not know. And then you flip the coin and you say, oh, I'm going to flip it again. That's a great trick. And you can actually discover that you really do know what you want
to
do.
Really do know. That's exactly right.
It's a great trick.
I love it.
You got to try that. It's a good trick.
Jack, you got to write some of this shit down.
I actually did. I got a book. I'll send you a book. Give me your address on Facebook and I'll send you a book.
Okay. Yeah. You have to. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you, Tony. I want to see you when you come to town again. Thank you for listening, everyone. And try again next week. Drop me a line at reasoningwithanoptimist.net. I'd appreciate it. And take care. This is Jack Brissett-Mills. Bye-bye.